Good morning, good morning. My name is Jameson, one of the pastors here, and you guys look good this morning. My goodness. Oh, man. We are 5 weeks together, and God has been just absolutely amazing, hasn't he? He just, man, I tell you, just hearing the stories that's just been happening, hearing what God has been doing, just so encouraged of what's happening. And I share that every week every time I get up because just want to lead out well and want us to know, man, God is on the move and he's doing great things. And so just want to share that. So we're going to jump in into an incredible passage in the story, in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to jump into it. But I share this out of humility, out of love. I share this through many experiences that I've been through and lived through. And this is a topic that, this is not church growth 101 topic, okay? this happens, and I believe God is moving us and he's directing us so that we can be a healthy, incredible church that's on a mission together. And we want to be on a mission together. And so this morning I want to talk to you tackling the topic of tongues. I wanted to say tackling the tough topic of tongues, but seeing how I have to say that a lot, so tackling the topic of tongues. And they said, Pastor Jay, we're throwing this to you on your third time speaking. So let's get it. Let's get it. I've been, if you haven't known me, most of you haven't. Oh, I grew up in an all-black, Pentecostal, fire-baptized, holy, that's what I grew up in. Little small Pentecostal church, and that was my experience growing up. I'm telling you, it was, you know, about 100 people or so, but not only did we speak in tongues, and now I'm going to explain tongues as we go along, so just hang with me, but here in this experience is where I learned a lot of things, not just with tongues, but a lot of other things. And I've realized this, that oftentimes our belief systems or even biblical beliefs often get frameworked through the experiences we lived in or come from. And so you can live on different extremes often that we have. You could have grown up and never have experienced any of the gifts or anything of say, charismatic things, and not because you didn't want to, but because you just were never exposed to them. And so now my framework is out of the experiences, or even my biblical view is out of the experiences that I grew up in. Same here over here. My experience can be, I grew up, if the belief was if you didn't speak in tongues, you weren't saved. You didn't speak in tongues, the Holy Spirit wasn't in you. You didn't speak in tongues, you didn't belong. And you can live on an extreme over here. And oftentimes, in the extremeness, you can have negative or positive viewpoints on either side. On either side. And so even on that happening, even the merge of internet and TV, you can now see negative or positive imagery of what can confirm your beliefs. Right? And so through our experiences is sometimes what God wants to expose us to. In a biblical format. And so how many know ever been to a good restaurant, a great restaurant? Great experience. You can think right now, if I said, name me a great restaurant, you'd be like, boom, because you had a great experience there. Vice versa, if I say a restaurant, you say, ooh, yeah, because your experience was not good, right? And so we can equate that being that is everything equated to it. If I have a one bad experience in one place, I can attach everything that's connected to that as everything is bad. Vice versa on good. Same with church as well. You can say, I may have had a bad experience in one area, and then you can say, I don't want anything to do with that because of one bad experience. And that is not healthy or mature. And so Paul wants to let us know, how do we do this thing? Paul, the Corinthian church is Paul's baby. He planted this church. He had an idea, and he planted his church of what he wanted to be like. And so now Paul gives back word of the church is not operating how it's supposed to function. It's not operating of what he had planning it to do. And so he sends this letter and giving it instructions. And so what happens is we tend to land on 14, but all the previous scriptures before he even got to spiritual gifts is that he had to deal with immorality and natural things that people were facing. He couldn't even jump to spiritual things first. He had to go to the natural. He was talking about sexual immorality and things that was happening that were not godly and things they were bringing in from their past. He is trying to let them know. He said, there's some things I got to deal with naturally before I even jump into spiritually. And so he does that. But I know this, and as I said, experiences is what God wants us to have in shape and form. I know even about experiences. Some people say even now, miracles aren't happening now. Miracles don't exist. Because I've never experienced it. Miracles don't exist. But I realized this. What could be common to one could be a miracle for somebody else. I remember my father exposed me to an experience. I was one of five children. And my dad, he said, I want to take you on an experience. He didn't say that, but this is what he was doing for me. And I was 12 years old. And I realized this, even now growing up, out of all my brothers and sisters, he only took me oftentimes to these great experiences. I don't know why, but he said, Jameson, come on. I'm like, I got my little brother, my sister, but they didn't go. But Jameson, you're going with me. And so he took me on this experience. I'm going to get you out of school. I'm going to take you to, at the time, my mom worked for Kanaga, and they said, we're going to bless you with as much food as you want. We're going to fill it up, and you can take it. And so my dad said, I'm going to get you out of school. So he gets me out of school, hop into this big 24-passenger van. We go to Kanaga, and we load enough food. Loan it up. And then my father says, all right, we get done with this. We're going to take it back to our church. We're going to take it. We're going to unpack it, repackage it. We're going to take it to some families. I said, all right. And so I didn't realize these families at the time were living in one of the worst places in Omaha, Nebraska. One of the worst places. It was scary. It was dangerous. Even the cops didn't go into this area unless they had backup. It was just one of those places you did not go in. So my father said, that's where we're going. Imagine, 12 years old, you going. And so, and understand my context was that I didn't come from, at the time, it was a broken home. I didn't have to worry about if food was going to be on the table, if I was ever going to eat, if I was going to have clothes on my back. That was not my context. And so I was never exposed to a different experience. So my dad says, all right, unpack the food, load it up. And he says, we're coming back tonight with some teams, and we're going down to get food. And so that night, we drive. We go to the neighborhood. We get out, and it's dark. And there's some steps. My dad hands me some food, and he says, take this to the family. I'm like, okay. I walk down, 12 years old, walk down, knock on the door. And this man opens up the door. Now, this man, he was a man's man. You know, he was, you know what I mean? Like, you could tell, you know what I mean? He was just construction dude. And I'm standing there, I'm like, excuse me, sir, I just want to let you know, we have some food for you. And he says, oh, thank you. He said, come in. You can bring it and put it on the table. And I walk in, I set it on the table. As I turn around, I see a different experience that was different than mine. It's two beds right in the living room with the TV where the kids slept. That was their experience. And so as I turn around, get ready to leave, the father says, hey, hang on, son. And I turn around, and I'm looking up. And he's like, I just want to tell you something. Tear rolling down his face, he said, I was praying how I was going to feed my family. And you just answered a prayer for me. I just want to say thank you. What was ordinary to me became a miracle to somebody else. Experiences. And my father brought me to this experience that if I was not intentional about doing it, I would have said, miracles don't happen. But experience brought me to say, miracles can happen. And that's what Paul wants to let us know. Gifts can happen. Whether you experience them or not, they can happen. But also, there is controversy over this, isn't it? Like, this is tongues is one of the most topics that cause so much division in a church, in denominations, in relationships. It's one topic, it's like, either you do or you don't, or you're with or you're not. And it caused so much controversy for a couple of reasons. One, because of a lack of leadership and a lack of communication. Leadership and communication. We actually had a group that we met with a couple of weeks ago downstairs from different experiences, different expressions, some who had talked with tongues, some who didn't, some who believed, and some who were on the fence and trying to discover. And so we got together, and I realized this. Communication helps out so much. I'm about to help you out in your marriage right now. Communication helps out so much. The wives are nudging the husbands right now. Communication. Because what it does is it breaks down barriers. It allows me to understand where you come from. It allows me to put on my listen. Let me listen before I start to speak and hear about your experience and where God has brought you from and what he's done in your life. And so after reason of division happens to talk because of this, if you read it, mysterious gifts. Because it's not understood, it's easily misused, even sometimes abused between believers of all backgrounds. I've had people who spoke in tongues but didn't know how to love well. I had people who didn't know how to speak in tongues and didn't know how to love well. Nobody in here. But we live on extremes. I'm taking to a few extremes here where 4 weeks sometimes we live on. The first one is seven things. One is denial. Denial. The gift is not for the church today, and no matter what anybody says, I believe all manifestations of the gift are not from God. That's one extreme. Then we move a little bit to resistant. I don't care if the gift is for today or not. I don't understand it, and I don't want it. And I don't want to. I'm largely skeptical of those who practice it. Move a little bit over. Open. I do not have the gift, but I do believe that others genuinely possess it. If God wants me to have this gift, he's going to have to reveal it on very obvious ways. You got seeking. I believe tongues exist, and I'm praying and seeking ways that will reveal it if I have to. I also know that may not be the gift that God desires for me to have. You have practicing. And I use it regularly, but am careful about the way I use this gift in a corporate church setting. You have uninhibited. I use this gift often and am often heard speaking in tongues in public setting. Then you have zealous. I have a gift and believe you should too. And if you don't speak in tongues, then you either are not spiritual minded or not filled with the Spirit. Can you see why such division happens in the church? Those who are on extreme perspectives are highly to offend or be offended by the rest of the spectrum, those who often live in the middle because they have a dogmatic perspective of where it should be. I won't budge. I'm over here because it does not exist. It's not for today, so I'm not budging. I'm over here. Everybody should be doing it. If you don't, you're not spiritual. So you see how offense could happen if you don't believe on either side. Those who are resistant and uninhibited have the potential to offend or be offended by those in the middle, mainly because of judgment that is easily perceived by the corresponding opposite viewpoint. But Paul gives us a healthy look at this topic of tongues. He says, 14, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Pursue, desire, prophesy. Pursue love. Go after it. Pursue love. But he also said you need to desire these gifts. You should want to have these gifts, especially to prophesy. For one who speaks in tongues speaks not to men but to God, for the one who understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up. The one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues. But even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so the church may be built up. We have talked about how we should view spiritual gifts, earnestly desire. I want to have that. So it leads to this question. First, what is prophecy? I'm going to do a quick thing with prophecy. It says this. to build, encourage, and console, or also to reveal, make known, foretell, or instruct. It is speaking the heart and mind of God to others in such a way that he can supernaturally do all the things that Paul describes. I'm going to jump into that later in verse 24 and 25. So tongues, what does that mean? Here's a definition of tongues. If you want to write it down. Tongues is a form of prayer in which the language spoken is unknown by the speaker and during which the spirit prays while the mind remains unengaged. The one praying in tongues is building up him or herself for the purpose of subsequently building up the body. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. So first I want to talk about the definition of tongues. I shared that. And he says two things. There's men of tongues and there's men of angels. My heavenly language. So men of tongues, when you go to Acts verse 2, when the day of Pentecost comes, they get filled with the Holy Spirit and they're empowered to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit comes when they speak in tongues. But they go out speaking in a tongue, in a language, that people who were around them when they saw, they kept saying, oh my goodness, I understand them. They're speaking in my language. So the Holy Spirit empowered them to speak in other languages so that they can hear what God had to say. In that context, in Acts chapter 2, they had many people from different, many backgrounds, Asians, Arabs, Jews, Gentiles. They had all these different languages, but when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke, they could understand the language that they were saying, which is tongues of man. They could understand what they were saying. But then you have tongues of angels. If you look back, even before that, even when they were seeing them talk in different tongues, they had two points of view, two things happened inside them. Verse 12 said this, it said, and they were all amazed and perplexed at the same time. How am I amazed and perplexed at the same time? I'm amazed. I see what's going on. I see what's happening. Oh, but then perplexed. Huh? Right? They were amazed and perplexed at the same time. So Paul makes it clear that the one speaking tongues speaks not to men, but to God. Not to men, but to God. That sounds an awful lot like prayer, doesn't it? Sounds like prayer. And I don't know about you, but when life situations hit me, I need prayer. I don't know about you, but when battles come and I'm faced with different things happening in my life, I need prayer. I need to go to my Father. When I can't come to man, and when man can't give me an exact answer or what I need, I know I can go to God in prayer. I need prayer. I need prayer. But also, he says, tongues is not a known language with structure, but that the one that speaks it, tongues, utters mysteries in the spirit that no one understands. That no one understands. Many suggest that since the tongues described at Pentecost were indeed known foreign languages unknown to the speaker, that all tongues must be that way. And it can't be true, because if it was true, Paul would have said, all you need to do is speak in known language. But instead, he describes tongues as an unknown language, but even more important, the purpose of this language. So you have the definition of tongues, and the second thing I want to talk to you is the function of tongues. The function of tongues. The one who speaks, verse 4 says, the one who speaks in tongues builds himself up or herself up, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So the purpose of tongues is to speak with God and not to man. That does not matter if the language is known or foreign language with grammar or vocabulary or if it's unknown language, but God can understand. The power comes when we speak to God so that we can build up ourselves so we can also build up the church. We can build up the church. Here is the problem often lies is that thing is, if I'm praying and it's unfruitful, how can I understand? And the problem happens for those who have the intellectual bent. It says, I don't understand it, so therefore it can't happen. I have to think. And you think your way through. I got to think. I got to understand. Think. I couldn't tell you. Your best thinking got you in the position you're in right now. Your best thinking got you right where you're at right now. I gotta think. And the problem is, it's so mysterious, I can't think my way to knowing what it is. He says, you think, but it's mysterious. It's mysterious. And even in our American culture, we want to know everything. How does it work? How does it function? Can I do it? Can I do it? Can I get permission to do it? No. I got to Google it and get more. And then this person, no. You think, and never do anything with what you're taking in. Think, intellectual. So it's hard to understand when you also have the intellectual bent, and that's where you go. But the kingdom of God is not about how much you can think, but it is about how much you're willing to believe. The kingdom of God operates on faith. Willing to believe those things that I may not understand, but I believe God, your word, and that it is true. They say the biggest distance, is from the head to the heart. How do I get from my head to my heart? Am I willing to believe that God is a good father? Even though I don't understand everything, but he has given me gifts to build up myself and to speak courage to others. Those who oppose his gift of tongues often use verse 4, they say this for justification. It says, well, that's a selfish gift. That's selfish. They're building up for themselves. But how untrue is this reasoning? When we spend time with God in prayer or in Bible study or in worship or in meditation or reflecting, we are building ourselves up, right? We need to be building ourselves up. Why? Because Paul even wrote in Ephesians 6, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over his present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Paul lets us know that we are in a spiritual battle, not against flesh and blood, not against you and I, but against the spiritual things and darkness that are coming against our way. And so if we are in a spiritual battle, we have to be building ourselves up. We have to be in time with prayer. We have to be in time in worship. We have to be time knowing the word and understanding that. And for some have that gift, they say, how I build myself up is I'm able to communicate with God about what's going on in my life. And I have to be built up to understand what's happening in this world, in the spiritual realm. And as a church, we have to be built up. We can't face the battles. I don't know about you, but life hits me. Life comes at me. Things hit. Circumstances happen. Known and unknown. Things I'm facing in marriage. Things I'm facing with my children. Things I'm facing financially. Decisions I'm trying to make. And I have to be built up, strengthened, so that I can live out what God has called me to live out. He says it's for building each other up. It's building yourself up. How would a good father give us a great gift that he wouldn't want us to use? Why would he give us a great gift? That doesn't sound like a good father. I wouldn't give my daughter a gift and say, hey, use this, and then I know it's going to mess her up. That's not a good father. Here you go, Maya. Boom. No, that's not a good father, right? No, here's a gift because I want you to use this gift that's going to build you up, it's going to edify, it's going to help you along the way, it's going to help you when you face things that when this natural dad won't be there, but as our father says, I'm giving you these gifts so to help you in areas of life. I wanted to build you up and build you. I want to put flames on your fire to grow and grow and grow and go and go and go. And that's what the spiritual, this does. It says that it's for you to get built up so that you can build others up. I have to be filled with the Holy Spirit so I can help others. I got to be filled with the Holy Spirit so I can know how to help and to counsel and to help others in situations. I have to be filled up so I can release what God has inside of me. Some say the gifts aren't for now. I say, well, they say, I'm not gifted like that. But I understand this. You may not have the gift of encouragement, but you can encourage somebody. You may have the gift of a prophecy, but I can encourage somebody. You can call somebody and text them and say, hey, just thinking about you. You can call somebody and say, hey, how's life going? You can speak a word of edification to somebody. And what happens is, it's that level of faith that not willing to step out on something in the unknown. Tongues or any of the gifts, the only way they get activated is if you're willing to step out and use it. He says, I've given you these gifts to be able to edify and equip the church. But are you willing to step out? Are you willing to engage in it? Are you willing to say, I've heard many stories of people who have come and say, I was feeling this way, and I didn't know this what life had hit me. And somebody came over and just gave me an encouragement word, and I just got built up. In fact, I got an encouragement word before I even preached my first message. Someone came up to me and said, I got a word for you. I see this for you. I said, ooh, praise God. I need to hear that. But if they didn't step out and activate it, I would not have been blessed, and I would not have been built up to face you this morning. You don't know what people are going through. You don't know what people are facing. You don't know what's happening in their lives. And God wants to use you, the gift that's inside you, to help build others up. Use the gift. So the function of the tongues. But he also does, he gives the definition, he gave us the function, but he also gave us, here are instructions for the tongues. Let me help you, let me help you out, because Paul gets word, things are happening, and the church is going, and everything's flying, and people are just going and going and going, and there's no order. There's no order. He says, no, I got to bring it back, because there's a healthiness into what God wants to do for the church. And he gives instructions to this church. And even for you, even in this context, it's hard for 300 people to be going full force and going without order. It was easy for, you had 9 to 15 people in a home, and trust is happening. You can have that realm, but we got 300 people gathering and say, all right, God, what do you want to say for everybody from different areas and different backgrounds and different areas coming in? And how do we get this to happen? And we just merged, and we got new things happening. How do we go, and how do we move, and how do we do that? And we're trying to figure it out, but you got to lean on to the Holy Spirit. He says instructions for this. He says Paul wrote the book to give us clarification to the Corinth church. He wants to have a God-honoring gathering that is building each other up. So he gives instructions for the gifts. He gives us instructions for our gifts, for the functions. The church service was going crazy, I said out there, but it's also to not to restrain us and keep us tight, but it's to release us into what he wants for us. He doesn't want to restrain you. I can't do this. I can't. No, he says, I want to give you release to be able to help everyone live out what they've called to live out. 1 Corinthians 14:13 says, therefore, one who speaks in tongues should pray, they may have an interpreter. For I pray in tongues, but my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So then 15 says this. It says, what am I to do? ? Paul says, what am I to do? The question. I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? 17, for you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. He says, 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak in 5 words of my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues. In fact, I pray that you speak in tongues. I earnestly pray. I pray that you speak in tongues. I wonder why he was praying that prayer, why you should speak in tongues. I wonder why. Maybe it's because he knew he needed that when he was in prison. Maybe he knew he needed that while he was getting beat up to the point of death. Maybe he knew he was going to be suffering for the gospel. Maybe he knew my only divine connection was to God. Maybe he understood the power of the tongue and what it was meant to use and be filled up to live this out. Maybe he understood. He said, I pray that you all get filled up with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, because I know the power that it has. I know the power that it has. I know the power that it has. Now, I don't know about you, but I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to live out all that I live out. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. But he says in church, he says, I pray, but that you prophesy to each other, encourage each other. Because if someone doesn't understand, how will they know how to give thanks to God and say amen? How will they be able if they don't know what you're saying? How will they know? I know you know. And that's the question. How would they know? But he said, I pray first that you all live in that realm, that you all have that personal time with the Lord, that you all are getting filled up, filled up, filled up. And that only happens through my connection with God in prayer, my connection to God. But he jumps to 24 and 25. He says this. He says, because if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of their sin and are brought under judgment by all as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. I pray that we are a church where people come and say, God was in that place. Not because we had such an exciting place, but because we were encouraging each other. We were loving each other. We were intentional about our actions. And that people would leave here saying, God was in that place. When was the last time you left this place and said, God was in that place? When was the last time you heard an unbeliever come to you and say, God was in that place? I pray we are a church where people leave and say, God was in this place. God is in this place. God is in the place because unbelievers, it says that they will fall down, convicted of their sin, and worship the Father. When was the last time you fell down and worshiped the Father? When's the last time you lifted your hands in surrender? When's the last time you were just in awe of his presence? When's the last time you just weren't thinking your way, but just said, I'm going to let go and yield to God, whatever you have for my life? Because I understand what I go through. I understand it wasn't by my might or my power, but it is by the Spirit I'm able to do what I do. It's by the Spirit. Why I lift my hands? Because I love him. Why I shout? It's because I love him. Why I dance? That was horrible. That's not how I dance. Because I love him. Why do I laugh? Because I love him. Because there's joy. Why do I encourage others? Because I love them. Why do I believe the best and think the best? Because I love them. Because I know my life without the Lord. I know my life when I was down and out. I know my life, and I know how much power it is when we come together and we're able to encourage each other, build each other up, so that people can say, God was in this place. And when the world sees that, and those who don't understand, and those who have questions, and those who are trying to figure out, what a powerful place to come and say, God was in that place. When you leave, and you get your coats, and you drive out, and you start your cars, and there's -2 degree weather, and you start it up, I pray your words, I don't even want to leave, because God was in that place. The people were so amazing. They were just encouraging me. God was in that place. And it can't happen because there's leadership, there's worship, there's great teaching. But we're able to live out under the banner, verse 13 says, under the banner of love. How do you get people from different backgrounds, different places, different ethnicities, different church experiences? How do you come together in a place like this? It is under the banner of love. Why do I use my gifts? Under the banner of love. And Pastor Tyler shared, trust has to happen. And trust has to be part of the equation. And how many know it's easy to trust when it's just 3 or 4 of you together? We meet every day, we talk, we're at our homes. It's easy to trust. If tongues are spoken there, I trust you because I know you. I know you're coming out of that love. How do I trust in a bigger context when I don't know you? How do I trust? It takes time. It takes intentionality. It takes saying, I'm going to be mature about this. It's a tough place. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not. We say, are you willing to lean in and not live on this extreme, but willing to say, you know what, God, I want this healthiness. I want to lean into what you have for us as a church. I want all the gifts that you have for me. I want to see that in action. I want to see that. And imagine a church that gets together and does that. Because division happens, and the enemy will love to come and bring division. He'll love to come in and say, look, 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 you are divided by this, so you can't be together in unity. Why? Because we think different on theology, theology. We think different. We have different perspectives and experiences. We can't come on the better of unity for the gospel's sake. So I'm going to go do my thing and go do my thing. Or it's easy to go find a place where it fits into my commonality because that's what I lean to. That's easy. It's easy to leave. It is easy to leave. It's easy to leave. So most do. But what happens if we are, if what God wants to do right now says, hey, how do we unite now? How do we come together now? And we get to be that example as the church of how to do it and how to do it well, how to have great leadership in it, and giving grace and patience. How many know we have to be patient? We have to give grace, and we have to communicate and share. And I pray in our experiences that you ask the Lord, who can I learn from? Who can I trust? Who have you put in my life? Who may have experiences, those who have experienced the tongues and those who may not. How do I come together? How do I learn? How do I learn? Because Paul says this, he ends this with this. He says, verse 20, family, I'm going to say it to you, family, don't be children in your thinking. Be mature. Be mature. Be mature. What's that maturity looks like? I'm going to live in this middle, not on the extreme, but here oftentimes in the middle is where most people live at anyway. Kind of open, kind of curious, kind of seeking, kind of trying to figure it out, you know, practicing. Not, you can do it, I can't, all that kind of stuff, right? And that's where it's like, I want to be in that space, and I want to learn. I want to be in an environment where God is really activating, the Holy Spirit is activating alive and well. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is active and alive and well and wants to do amazing things in us and through us. And he is alive and active in your life, and he wants to do amazing things in your life if you're willing to receive the amazing gifts he has for us. Tongues is a tough topic to talk about. Thank you. Got that. It's a tough topic. But are we willing to be mature? Because people who don't know Christ, unsaved, or lost, need to know about Jesus. They need to know that the church can do this thing right, can encourage and love, equip, be in this thing together. And when that happens, watch how people come in and start saying, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. I don't know much. I don't know everything. I don't know about lifting my hands. I don't know about that just yet. I don't know about singing out loud. I don't know about that just yet. I'm still trying to get this. But what happens when you leave and you say, you know what? I understand, but God was in that place. And I pray this year that more people come to this place and say God was in that place. I pray we have more baptisms than we ever had before because people say God was in that place. I pray that this place is filled with worship and hands lifted over because God is in the place. I pray people are singing and rejoicing because God was in the place. I pray people are searching the scriptures because they know God is in the place. That is a powerful church, and the enemy will love so much to cause division. But I pray God is so much bigger than the enemy. God is bigger than the enemy. He has crushed the enemy. The enemy has nothing on us because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and power, and the Holy Spirit dwells in me. And I know what he wants to do in us and through us. And I pray we are that church. I pray, I pray, I pray. I pray, I pray, and I hope you pray that we are that church where people can say God is in that place. How do you handle the gifts? How do you use what the King gave you? How do you use those? I pray that we're in that middle. I pray that we're in that middle of seeking and discovering and asking questions and not timid, but also respectful and honoring. Respectful and honoring and loving. And I pray we create spaces for all. And pray when we have our worship nights that people are healed and that people are filled, and I pray that people are encouraged and equipped, and that people are just in an incredible environment where God can be moving. I pray in this space right here, in the corporate setting, that people can say God was in that place. Some of you have to even move, not even by tongues, but do I even lift my hands? From here to here to here to here to here to here. Do I even sing aloud? Do I do these things? And I'm going to tell you, God wants to do some amazing things, but he will never force himself on you. He will never force you to do anything you want to do. But you got to come sometimes, both from think to be. I want to be in your presence. I want to be. I just want to be. And I don't understand think, because I'm not the most thinking dude, but think. But I pray I don't stay over here and just be. But how do I bring it together in the middle where I know who God is? I know who he is because I've been studying. I know who God is. So why do I worship him? Because I know who God is. I want you to worship me in spirit and in truth. I want you to be and know. I want you to be and know. Know who I am, but know why you worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Be and do. Be, do. That balance, that dance. Be, do. And I pray we are a church that's led spirit and in truth.